Talking in circles gets you in more circles. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Talking in circles gets you in circles. Now, we have been just talking about why the Apple machines do not work properly on campus or in the embassy or in the Hermitage or wherever. And we were saying perhaps it is the wall boards that are used on the Hermitage, that are like shower paneling, and that this plastic might in some way inhibit the use of the computer. And it's interesting that whenever I get excited about the Apple computer, then other people get unexcited about it. And when they get unexcited about it, the Apple computer, for some reason or other, ceases to work as well as it could.
That is principle.
That is principle. And that is exactly it. That's exactly principle. And Ingeborg, what you have just said is what we are all about. We are all about principle here at the University of Healing. And we want to apply principle to one area where it doesn't necessarily touch us, and we don't want to apply it to other areas where it does touch us. And I was just thinking how Sylvia was just explaining to you, Ingeborg, about the eclipse of the moon and the sun that are going to take place tonight around whatever time, but it'll be Eastern Daylight Time, Western Daylight Saving Time, and all that sort of stuff. It doesn't matter. It's going to take place. So, and you made the comment that if the moon were here, you wouldn't see it because the sun covers it. Or if the sun were here, you wouldn't see the moon because it covers the moon. And that's a very necessary bit of information that you have to understand eclipses and how they work. An eclipse takes place when the moon comes between the earth and the sun and blocks off the sun. Now, if the sun were to come between the moon and the earth, well, the earth would be burnt to a crisp, because unless the moon is a very, very, very far away in some other dimension, you might even say. But it's very understandable. If the sun came between the earth and the moon, the earth would burn to a crisp. Now, if you don't understand that, and I don't mean that if you don't understand it, I mean if that is not something that is clear in the beginning of a conversation talking about the eclipses, then there's no discussion. There's no way to communicate. There's no way to get through. There's no way to get across the point of what the sun is doing and what the moon is doing and what the earth is doing. Now, does the earth play a role in the eclipse?
Yes, also.
And how does the earth play a role in the eclipse?
It's in the right place at the right time.
The earth is one of the three disks that are in relation to each other. Always, the moon is in the middle. And when the moon shines, we see the sun shining off the moon. The moon is reflecting the sun. The moon does not have any energy in itself to reflect. The moon is a cold object. And because it's a cold object, it doesn't reflect anything. And it doesn't reflect it from within. The moon reflects from without. The moon shines what the sun, it's like the moon is a big mirror up there, shining what the sun does on it. And so, on some crystal clear nights, the moon comes through bright and bright and bright, and you just think it's a gigantic light up in the sky. You wonder how it can be. Well, if you don't understand the moon and the sun and the earth's relationship to one another, then those things don't make any sense. Now, this same thing is true with computers. Over the years, here on campus, it has been my intention to have us learn new things and expand our awareness and upgrade ourselves with new techniques that are coming along. And years before Quark had come into existence, I recommended that we learn Quark and that we begin to use Quark and have it as a program for ourselves. But we didn't choose to do that. And then Gregor comes along and he says, well, Quark is great, we should learn that. Of course, Gregor didn't know anything about Quark, only what he read in the magazines, and that's beautiful too, you know. But we didn't follow it. And then, all of a sudden, different publications, firms that we deal with, told us that they couldn't use some parts of our Ventura and some parts of our word processing system to publish our books with them. And so eventually we had to move on into Quark. And since we never really wanted to learn Quark, we have never learned Quark. And it is when we learn Quark, what we should do is have a class in which all of us learn it together equally, where we all learn the little things, and each time that we learn something new about Quark, we share it with everybody, and even though we may not be using it, we at least know about it. And what does that do when we know about it and when we are sharing with others what we're doing? What is happening is that we are getting support. We are getting interest. We are getting...
pop up?
We're getting the ability of everyone to back up what we're doing. Now, this doesn't happen when we don't have that support. Now, ever since I have mentioned Apple computer here, we have not wanted Apple computer because it meant we'd have to learn a new program and we'd have to learn a new system. And yet in Apple is the simplicity of a child's play. And that's why all children are given Apple computers in schools, because the Apple company wants every child to learn how to use the computer so that they will buy an Apple when they graduate and so forth, and they go into business, ask their bosses to get Apples. But it worked to a great degree. Well, then what happened? Apple came along and became a toy. It became a toy, and what was its name? The iPod. When it became an iPod, everybody and his brother wanted it. Everybody, because they wanted to carry music with them in tiny little things. Now, other companies did this too, but they didn't do what Apple did. Apple had their eyesore, so that music was available. And other places, you had to get it where you could. But Apple made it available very conveniently to everybody. And because of that, it became fantastic. In this last year alone, they sold 8 billion new Apple iPhones, you know, 8 billion of them. And they sold 20 billion iPods this last quarter, just last quarter. That was the last quarter. And why is that? Because they're fun, because they're nice. I think that Steve Jobs name is really Moses. And Steve Jobs is going through the desert with his people, who are our PC people, and little by little, their PC people are dying out, and the Apple people are with him. And so, little by little, people are taking an interest in Apple more than they are in PC, because everybody says, wow, everything's being offered on Apple, everything's being made available to Apple. And Steve Jobs, like Moses, had the old generations that wanted PCs die, and the new generations that he trained to want Apples to remain. And so that's what we have today. We have the new generations. Now, the old generations are going to want to continue to say PC is the only way to go. And Bill Gates and his entourage said at the time they were developing the PC programs in the Microsoft, Apple will come along. They'll come along with us. They'll come along with us. Well, Apple said, no. If we dilute our strength, if we dilute our direction, we will be purposeless. And so Apple said, no, we are not going to do anything that is going to do this. And so they were very proprietary. And being proprietary, they seemed to lose a lot of people. But what they did was to gain a lot of strength. They gained integrity. And the people who were designing things for computers began designing things for Apple computers in great droves, starting out with the iPhone. And as they did this, the world took a new look at them. But there's an up and down, but Apple is staying firm. And what's happening to Microsoft's program? Microsoft's program, as good as it is and as necessary as it was for its time, is not waking up to the day. It doesn't want to copy Apple. Apple doesn't crash. Now, why doesn't Apple crash? Because if one program has a problem, it has a problem, and the rest of the programs are not disturbed by it, only if they need to use it. But then that one program can be remedied, and the whole system is put back in order. Now, in every household, there are antagonists. There are people who are against certain things. And a mother would say to her child, if you don't want to behave, then you go live somewhere else. If you don't want to follow the rules of our family, go live somewhere else. Well, Apple had rules in their family, and that was proprietary. And people all thought that was terrible. Well, now they realize that's the thing, the purity that has kept Apple so special. Microsoft has tried everything, and everything they try is falling flat on its face because it now has a new sun to compare itself with, and the sun is Apple. And as it's comparing itself to Apple, it is coming up very short, because Apple can do everything that Microsoft can do, and in half the time. Apple can do everything that Microsoft can offer to people in computer programs and in everything else, and do it better and do it more. And offering its special programs to do all the things that people would love to do, but you got to have all sorts of third parties to do it on a PC. Now, I'm not trying to promote Apple. It promotes itself. All I'm saying is that, in fact, what did I say? Can you tell me what the issue is that I have been attempting to give to you today?
But Apple remained pure, and that's why they...
It has its own integrity.
Integrity.
Its own purity.
Yes.
We hate it. When you are going out with a girl, and you want to have sex with a girl, and you say, come on, let's have sex. No. Why not? No. Why not? No. Why not? And she doesn't say that her mother said, If you allow yourself to be used by anybody that comes along, you're no longer precious. If you allow yourself to have no respect for sex, no respect for what its purpose is in procreating children and things like that, then it's going to be of little value to you. And you don't have to explain to people why you say yes or no. Sylvia, drink this bottle of champagne. And Sylvia says, I don't want any champagne. Sylvia, you got to drink it. I don't want it. But Sylvia, I bought it for you. You got to drink it. Well, thank you very much for buying it for me. I'll keep it here, and someday when we have a party and people want to drink it, I'll serve it to them. But I do not want any. You don't say, I don't drink champagne. I don't drink that stupid stuff. That's alcohol. That's bad for me. You don't say that. You just say, thank you very much. No. You do not have to explain why. A father who explains to his children the rules never has the children following his rules. The father says, this is what we do, now do it. But Dad, why? This is what we do, now do it. But Dad, why? This is what we do, now do it. All right. So then the kid does it. Then the father says, well, you did a very good job. Why did you do that? Because you told me to. No. Why did you do that? Why did you pile the bricks up in such a nice row like this instead of just throwing them in a big pile? Well, they look better. Well, why? Who cares about how they look? You're going to take them away and build them in a wall, 20 minutes later, an hour or two later. But why are you doing every step of the work that you do perfectly as you go along? Well, Dad, I feel good inside myself. That's right. That's the reason. You feel good inside yourself. Now, if I had explained to you why you should lay the bricks out in a nice row and nice pile, would you have understood that you have to do good for yourself, that you have to do it because you feel good inside? You wouldn't have understood that. That wouldn't have made any sense to you. But I just said, no, this is what we do. But why? You see, when you become mature, you stop asking why. And you start knowing that you do what you should do because it's right to do. Now, Apple has been, great attempts have been made to dissuade Apple because they've gone through highs and lows as most businesses do. And because they've gone through some lows, the other companies want to come in and offer programs and offer this and offer that. And they say, no, thank you. No, thank you. We'll struggle along. And so the Apple company itself, the Apple company themselves, the executives, the CEO, and not CEO, but I mean all the people who were working and running Apple, they said, let's get rid of Steve Jobs. He's bad news for us. He's trying to make us do things that, are not so good. And so they got rid of Steve Jobs, and their company went nosedive right straight down. And so then they said, well, Steve, we can't do any worse. Would you come back? And Steve was a multi-billionaire. I mean, he's no stoop. He came back, and he worked for the company. And he says, one thing, whatever I say goes. Whatever I say goes. And what he said went. And the company didn't all of a sudden perk up. But he polished the edges, and he polished the edges, and he made everything as perfect as he could. And it wasted money. It didn't bring results immediately. But then, when it took off, it took off. And it became one of the top companies on the marketplace. It wasn't the multi-trillion dollar company like some, but it was slowly building up billions and billions of dollars in value. And today, it is a very substantial company. Anyone who has invested money in Apple has done a good thing. But we haven't invested in Apple. We haven't invested in Apple when I told us to invest in Apple because our advisors didn't believe it was a good buy. We didn't invest in some of the other forms.
Companies.
Amgen and so forth, that I suggested and Ellen suggested, because our advisors felt it was not a good buy. And today, those are the mucky mucks. And if our advice had been followed, but we didn't insist, we just said, that's what we want, and it wasn't followed. And in one fell swoop, we lost $2 million. $2 million on our stock market. One fell swoop, tuck, like that. Just knocked us right off the market because we had not followed our own intuition, our own advice. We were given good advice, good according to the market and good according to what was known. But we don't go by what's known on the market. We go by what's known within. Ellen knew inside herself what to do. I knew. And we talked about it, but we didn't follow it. We didn't demand it. We didn't say, son, this is the rules of the house. You follow them or you get out. Son, pile the bricks that way. Dad, why? That's so much quicker to just dump them over there and get them over there. Son, pile them over there. All right, you know. Daddy wants me to pile the bricks over here. Daddy wants me to pile the bricks over here. Daddy wants me to pile the bricks over here. And then after a while, he stops saying that, you know. And after a while, everybody comes along and says, my God, what a beautiful pile of bricks. I've never come to a construction job where the bricks have been piled so beautifully before. Hey, you say, wait till you see what they do. Wait till you see what we use them for. We piled every brick so there's not one little chip in any brick. We loved each brick. We did each thing with careful perfection, just like Steve Jobs. We did everything because we knew what tomorrow brings. We knew what the future is, and the future is now. Doing the job perfectly now. Doing it in absolute perfection now. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful.
It comes to my mind.
It's wonderful how these things work, because it is great. And as I say, Ingeborg, I love to hear from you. I'm always delighting to have you talk and share, and I never want to tell you not to, but I'm in the middle of presenting a talk on the Internet. It just is a little handier sometimes to stay with my topic. So I say to you, and to you, Ingeborg, if you ever ask a question, however stupid it may be, and most of your questions are stupid, and the questions of geniuses are always stupid. Remember that. So the questions that you ask are stupid because of one thing. You were not respected in how the person or how the project was presented to you. You said, what about the the moon, the eclipse. And we did not take the moment to explain to you how an eclipse functions and how it works, as though you were a little baby, which would be beautiful, because it would explain it to us too. And if we go to the basics in everything we do, great. This morning, my dog got missing. He was barking at something very, very much, and I went back to see where he was. Well, apparently, then he stopped barking. He just stopped. And I looked and I looked and I walked all over and I called him and I looked. Well, apparently he'd stopped barking and he'd finished what he was doing, and then he was thirsty, so he ran to the embassy to get some water to drink. Well, I was still looking for him. I had no idea where he was. I knew it was okay, but I wanted to have him with me. So I came back to the monastery afterwards. I stopped off the Hermitage first, and he wasn't there, and I came to the monastery. And when I came to the monastery, Ellen says, well, Rex came to my house, and I gave him some water, and he was really tired. He was really, and I gave him some water at my house, and he was okay now. Now, I did not hear her say, my house. I saw Rex in the monastery with her and with them. And my only thought was that Rex came to the monastery and she gave him some water, and that was just fine. That was just fine. But I did not hear the monastery, because she said, my house. And every house is Ellen's house. She's the mistress of every house here. There's no house here that she's not in charge of. No house at all. And there's no activity here that she's not in charge of. She's the wizard gizzard of everything here. So, but I was listening with only half an ear. I was so happy that Rex was in tow, and that Rex was happy, and that Rex was getting his water. And so I did not hear her say, my house, meaning the embassy. And so because of that, I was not satisfied. And I was thinking to myself, what are you saying? What are you saying? My house, you know. And monastery was her house. That was what I was thinking of. And so if she had said to me, Rex came to the embassy and I gave him some water and then we came up here to the monastery, because who is it that runs Apple? And now you're going to say Steve Jobs. Well, Steve Jobs doesn't run Apple. Apple runs Apple. Apple is an entity of itself. Who is it who lives in the embassy? Nobody. Who is it lives in the monastery? Nobody. Where do the monks live? Everywhere. Is the embassy the home of a monk? Yeah. Is the monastery the home? Is the Hermitage Herb's house? Is that where Herb lives? Is that where... You shake your head, yes. And that's not true. You see, if Steve Jobs is Apple, then Apple's got problems. If Apple is Steve Jobs, then Apple is in good hands. Now, I am the University of Healing. I am the Absolute Monastery. I am all these things. If there is any time that the embassy is not my house, the Hermitage is not my house, every place is not my house, that I do not have a personal one-to-one interest in every one of these places that are here on campus and every one of the activities that are here on campus. If I do not have a personal one-to-one interest in it, and like if my dad would say to me, no, pile the bricks nice, just pile them right, pile them with love, you know, pile them. Why? Well, I'm paying you. Okay. Simple enough, you know. I'm paying you. And you want me to pay you? Then don't pile them and don't come. And that's fine. Okay. So, I have a 100% interest in the baby that I created here and the baby that I maintain here and the baby that I love here and all of the babies that are here. And when the babies in the monastery, in the embassy, when the babies in the Hermitage and in the Citadel and wherever they may be, when the babies that are here begin to think of me in one place, then I am dead. Because I am like Moses. I am overall. I'm like Steve Jobs. I am Apple. When you think Apple, you think Steve Jobs. When you think Steve Jobs, you think Apple. There's no differentiation. I would like that to be no differentiation when you think me. But when I say to you, for instance, you've made a flyer here, and on the flyer you've taken a picture that you thought was pretty nice. And I said to you, you said, how do y'all like it? I know. I didn't want to make a lot of more work for you. Well, how do you like it? Well, I don't like the picture. I'm looking down in the picture. And the attorney Wong said, "Herb, don't look down like that. It looks like you're guilty. It looks like you're guilty. It looks like, you know, you're ashamed of something, you know." And so every time I see a picture of me looking down, I think of, hey, I should have my chin up, and I should be confident, and I should be filled with enjoyment and delight, not looking sorrowfully down, but looking straight forward, or looking up and looking happy and confident. And now, you said to me, that's a good picture. I said, I don't like it. Your instant response should be, okay, we'll get another one right away. No discussion why I don't like it, why it is not satisfying to me. Now, to me, if I were making this flyer, and I'm not making the flyer because I don't care to argue about it, if I were making that flyer, I would take a sunburst on the front page, and I would say, the essence of meditation and introspection, an intensive master seminar on this topic, you know, and the sunburst shines forth the inner burst of meditation and introspection. And then somewhere in there you have an article. Now, where do I advertise my books? On my books I have on the cover the name of the book and maybe a little something of what the book might be about. And where is my picture about me and the? It's on the back of the book, maybe on an inside cover, but usually it's on the back of the book. And I am not selling the book. The book is selling itself. This seminar should be selling itself. People should look at that, and they shouldn't say, oh, that's Obama is giving the lecture. We've got to go hear it. Well, they're not going to hear the lecture on meditation. They're going to hear the lecture by Obama, because Obama's picture is out there. He's the one who's getting the promotions. He's the one who's making the come on for the audience, and that's beautiful. That's great. But the thing is, think about what you're doing. Think about what you're working on. Stop just thinking about what's convenient and what's nice. Last night, Ellen Jeremini, the CEO and the all sorts of things here, said to me, Herb, I'd like to have a picture of Diego and my grandson, and I can't find it. It's in all the 3,000 pictures, and I cannot seem to find it. I said, I'd like you to have it, and I'd like you to send it to them again. And so she said, I'd like to have the picture. Well, now, Ellen did not want that picture. She did not want that picture. What she wanted was a different picture, a picture that was taken inside of Diego's house that was so nicely set. That was the picture she wanted. She didn't want the picture that was taken of the three of them in a restaurant. She didn't want that. But that was the image she left with me, because that was the only picture. The picture inside the house of the table set had never impressed me one way or another. It was just another table inside the house, you know. And I'm sure it impressed you, but it didn't impress me. But now, so I spent 2.5 hours going through every single picture on my three computers, looking for it. Now, I found the picture of Diego, Giacomo, and Ellen, and I said, wow, I found it, I found it. I found several of them. I found pictures of her lady friends that she'd been with in Lugano. And so I took all these pictures, and I grouped them, and I emailed them to Ellen. After 3.5 hours of studying, I could have done all sorts of other things, but I was happy doing it because I did a nice job for her. And then I find out that that wasn't the picture that they wanted. They wanted the picture which was just of the dining room table so nicely set. And I don't even remember seeing that picture, because it was not something that touched me. It was just one of the 3,000-5,000 pictures we got on our computers. Now, you see, when you don't have your message of the eclipse properly understood, the eclipse comes and goes of very little value. When you don't have your information properly told of what's going on, where Rex came to get a drink of water to my house, when you object to the Apple computers, and I just keep buying Apple computers, and you keep objecting to it, and I'll keep buying some more, and we're running out of money and stuff like that. You say, we can't spend money on Apple computers. Oh, yes, we can, because one of these days you'll start realizing that that's not a bad idea. But we learned the other so well. Well, it takes a few minutes to learn how to do the Apple, but once you've learned it, you, Ellen, are a stick shift person. And you drive a stick shift all the time. Well, I buy you a brand new automatic drive. And you say, no, I'm sticking with my stick shift. I'm sticking with my shift. You know, it's an old clunker, but you're sticking with your stick shift because that's all you know and that's all you want to learn. You don't want to bother learning how to drive an automatic. And, of course, there's nothing to driving it. It's so simple. It's so beautiful. But this is what we do to ourselves. This is what we do. I asked us to learn Quark long back, and no Quark was available. Nothing was ever available. And then, little by little, we're now using it. But whenever I ask you to do a job, I say, run off 100 syllabuses so we can take them on our retreats, we can take them on our seminars, we can ship them around the world. We should be making a mailing to everybody in our mailing list with a new syllabus, telling the new syllabus programs and so that people know what they are. But no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. It's too much work. It's too hard. We're just so used to doing it the one way, and that's the way we're going to do it. And anytime you ever say no to me when I ask you to do something, just remember, it's over. There may be some new idea that will come along in a year or two or something, but it's over. I will not tell you twice. I told the kid, come on, time to eat. He kept playing outside. Come on, time to eat. He kept playing. If you don't come in now, I'm going to lock the door. We're going to eat. And after dinner, then you can come in if you want. So he didn't come. We locked the door. And he was totally pissed off. He was ready to bite nails. He was ready to chew on rocks and say, you're terrible. You're hateful. You're a miserable father, a miserable mother, a miserable son of a bongulikong. Yeah. And that's what each of you think of me whenever I ask you to do something just because I ask you to do it. All of you. And when I say, stop arguing, you don't stop it. When I say, stop picking on somebody else, especially yourself, you don't do it. When I say, do this particular little thing I'd like to have you do, I would think you would run like crazy Indians, eager to do whatever you were asked to do when you were asked to do it by the boss. But you're not. You're not eager to do it because you know better how to run the show. You know better what is to be done. You know better how to live your life. And that's fine. And so perhaps the best thing for me to do is just close the door here and say, I'm staying by myself. I'm staying by myself. And then I don't have anyone to share with, to teach, to argue with, except myself. And I would surround myself with such wonder and such fun, I tell you. But if that's the game you guys want to play, okay. Now, I'm talking to anybody. I've got students all over the world. Oh, Dr. Barley, your course is so wonderful. Your course is so fantastic. Everything you teach is so beautiful. And Ingeborg says this morning, it's a principle. Well, yes, it is. That's what I said from the very beginning. It's the principle. And I'm not giving you her Barleyisms. That's not what you're learning. You're learning the principle. And you're learning to apply the principle. And you're learning to apply the principle. And when I say to you, please don't say that, or please say this. When I say, don't say my house, say the embassy. Don't say this, say that. And there's a reason for it. And if you have to know the reason, then you've lost the learning that was to be gained by it. So all of you, please, 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 don't try to impress me or don't try to impress each other. Just do what you know in your heart is right. Live what you know in your heart is the right thing to do. And that doesn't mean having it your own way, because perhaps the way you've done it for all the years of your life have been in a not beneficial way, and the time for making a slight change is here and now. And instead of taking the hammer and clobbering your hand, you take the hammer and you hit nails with it. It's up to you. It's up to you. I am not going to leave you. I am not going to abandon you. I'm not going to ignore the whole show we've set up here. But any of your requests are falling on deaf ears when their requests are things that you should do yourself. And all you have to do is do what Ingeborg has said. But Herb, that's just plain principle. And yes, that's just plain principle. Follow it, live it, and enjoy it. And just remember, they invited Steve Jobs back to the job. And he did a good job. But Steve himself became too enamored with the intensity of his work. And he gave himself an illness and almost killed himself. And he had to take a break to have a new liver or something put in, you know. And that's okay. But you see, the intensity of his work became so all-inclusive for him that his body couldn't handle it. I want your bodies to handle it. I want your bodies to live immortally as they're designed to do. And you do that only when you're at peace within yourself and you're not bitching at everybody else in the world. Only when you got a nose that's so short you can't even find it, you know. You don't want to have your nose in anybody else's business, not even your own. Just be yourself and have fun and enjoy every moment of life, because that's why you're here. You're not here for doing some Steve Jobs, Apple, or University of Healing or something else. You're here to be yourself and have fun. And when you're yourself and have fun, life's a great joy. Have a good time. Because the life you've been living is coming to an end. And the new you is going to be standing forth from this moment on. The new you living in the now, which says, I like me, I like me, I like me. So, I love you, I love you, I love you, I really do.